Hello, and welcome to Microsoft Virtual Academy. Today we'll be covering getting started with Microsoft Azure Active Directory. My name is Anthony Bartolo. I'm a technical evangelist here with Microsoft. And with me today, I have Todd Lamoth.
Hi, Anthony. How are you?
How about yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself, Todd.
Okay. I'm an IT consultant for Natrac Consulting based in Kingston, Ontario. I do work primarily right now with the federal government of Canada doing IT stuff with them.
Great, and thank you for coming today to provide your real-world experience in regards to what we're going to be covering today with regards to Active Directory.
Thank you.
So let's get into what we are actually going to cover today. This module is a three-module set, and we'll be starting with Introduction to Microsoft Azure Active Directory, and then diving into Multi-Factor Authentication, and then SaaS Application Access. So let's get started with the Introduction to Microsoft Azure Active Directory. So Todd, what is the number one identity management tool used today by about 80% of corporations out there?
On-premise Active Directory.
It is Active Directory. And it's interesting how, you know, with that larger scale of enablement of identity management through such a tool, that there is fragmentation that occurs in terms of other identity management tools made available. What Microsoft is trying to do is they're trying to extend that, and they're extending that into the cloud to not only enable, you know, Microsoft properties and Microsoft tools and services, but other applications possibly not created by Microsoft. What's interesting about today's demo is that when we're doing the live demos today, you'll actually be doing them on your MacBook.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, a telltale sign of how Microsoft's platform is extending across a multitude of devices and services to enable everybody through the security of one identity.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot easier for IT professionals as well.
For sure.
And so that identity being extended across the cloud allows for that access to multiple devices, as well as, you know, multiple line of business services, or even, you know, personal services.
That's right.
We sat through presentations where, you know, enablement of Facebook or LinkedIn through the single identity for authentication, it could be, you know, something where the organization is governing over, I don't want social media use amidst work hours,
yep.
So let's disable that. Or, you know, I do want social media use within work hours within certain parameters, or allow it within certain parameters. And again, governing it over one ID, one identity across all these, you know, people in the organization,
yes.
A lot easier for organizations to manage.
Right.
Also, the availability of the self-service portal. So, you know, empowering the users to actually go out and say, okay, so with my identity, I can go in and I can see via the company hub what applications my organization is allowing me to use, whether if they're a native app that's installed on the device itself,
yep.
Or it's a SaaS application as well.
That's right.
Now, you've had some current examples that we'll be talking about today in terms of what you've deployed thus far.
Exactly,
in terms of this. What have, you know, in terms of the ease of use and ease of implementation, what have you seen, what have you experienced?
It's been pretty straightforward to install. We've done the Active Directory piece with a school board in Eastern Ontario. My previous job, I was with Upper Canada District School Board. We deployed Azure Active Directory for basically Office 365, and we did about 50,000 user accounts, another probably 20,000 groups, so a lot of objects. It was really simple to deploy, probably a day's work.
It's interesting how now, you know, it's not just the on-premise applications that we have to be concerned about. There's also the off-prem or SaaS applications. And in this day and age, how, you know, IT has now been stretched even further.
Yep.
You know, why have additional solutions or additional passwords to remember on behalf of your users, right? It makes it easier if you have the one identity.
School board had a mantra that any application being installed must be able to work single sign-on, had to work with the password that the user knew for the Active Directory. If it required a different password, it was pretty much thrown out.
Okay. So, in essence, what is Azure Active Directory? You know, we're now taking Active Directory and putting it into the cloud. And it's that enablement to have the single identity for that individual extended into the cloud, but fully managed by IT. Does that mean that you have to have full synchronization of all your objects amidst your Active Directory?
No.
Of course not. You know, again, control is in the hands of IT in terms of what can be enabled. And so this enablement allows for IT managers to allow for individuals to go across multiple devices, multiple applications, all governed by IT. All governed by IT through a single identity source.
Yeah.
And so in that management, you have the ability to say, you know, this individual has the specific parameters around when an application can and cannot be used, and can even safeguard in regards to when applications are maliciously being used. You know, in this day and age, malware,
yep.
where situations occur, if you load a flashlight app on your mobile device, I don't care if it's iOS, Android, or Windows, and it's larger than 80K, you may have a situation in your hands and that you might have a problem with regards to what that application is doing in the background.
Yep.
We've seen numerous situations where it's malware that's being loaded.
That's right.
And in those scenarios, you know, gaining access to applications on your device and then loading them onto other machines, you know, it's been a problem.
Yep.
There is the capability to identify this when that situation occurs
right.
so that you can actually eliminate that threat and block the access from both devices immediately when something like that occurs so that your information
yep.
doesn't get leaked out.
Right on.
So there's two methods of enablement of Azure Active Directory. There's a synchronization method where as an application called Azure Active Directory Connect
yep.
Is loaded on the machine and in essence syncs your Active Directory schema up into the cloud into Azure Active Directory.
Yep.
What's great about the sync functionality is it is a scenario where you can select and choose which objects you want to sync. You don't have to sync the entire
That's right.
Schema itself, but you are required to sync at a minimum four objects
yep.
per identity. The other aspect to this is federation. And now federation, in essence, utilizes the server as the gateway federation allows the your Azure Active Directory implementation to be the gateway to your on-prem for authentication.
Correct.
So in this scenario here, you're not having synchronization up into the cloud. You're using the cloud as the gateway back, in, a secure gateway back into your on-prem AD implementation for
yep.
authentication.
Yep.
What was the implementation that you ran at the school?
So we did, it was really just a synchronization.
It was synchronization?
Yeah. We did use the on-premise Active Directory Federation services to synchronize to applications in the cloud. We had a few custom-built apps that ran in Azure. We also had some apps from third parties that we connected into as well so that students didn't have to know two or three passwords. They logged in, clicked on the app, and off they went.
And how great was it, the fact that you have that choice and you have that customization? It wasn't an all-in or leave-it type of scenario,
That's right?
right?
Yeah.
So it fits your organization's needs a lot better,
yeah.
right?
That's
As
right.
opposed to trying to do a fitting into the mold.
Exactly, yeah. We were able to customize it to what we wanted.
Yeah. So let's talk about monitoring and protecting access, because you may mention you don't want to have multiple passwords, or you don't want your end users to remember multiple passwords.
That is
correct.
And
we talked about the malware situation
yep.
where you know applications are being loaded on these devices unknowingly by the end user,
That's right.
and you know they're accessing applications that are on there, and there are parameters in place to secure this type of scenario, so that should there be an occurrence where the app is being run maliciously outside of the parameters that's being dictated, you know, it can be stopped.
That's right.
And it can actually be reported on when those issues occur.
Exactly.
In your experience, what have you seen thus far? Like, how has that safeguarded, you know, the schools in terms of access to information that people shouldn't have access to?
We could see if something was going on or something weird was happening, we could look to see where the user was coming in from. You know, shouldn't be seeing any connections from students trying to connect from Russia or China or North Korea.
Right.
You know, the usual spots. Really, I mean, Canada, U.S., that's really where you're going to see most of your students. Mostly Canada, but, you know, sometimes they travel. And some live close to the border, so you're hopping across with Wi-Fi and stuff, or 3G, I mean. So there's, you know, but pretty much it was great. You could see kind of where reports on where the access was coming from.
And that's the thing, right? So in the reporting itself, how easy was it to go through the reporting?
Reporting's easy. It's a couple clicks and you're right there. I actually, for giggles, I tried it last night on my own personal domain. So my Office 365 that I'm running in Office in Azure and stuff. And I clicked on it and I could see connections from Australia and a few other ones. I went, someone's trying to connect in as me. So kind of neat, but.
So the other aspect to this, and we'll talk about this later, is securing that connection by doing a multi-factor authentication as well.
That's right.
Right. Another availability made available in Azure as well. I was actually just finishing setting it up on my phone right now in regards to the Authenticator app.
Yep.
We'll get into more detail later. But it's that next step in terms of further securing those identities to ensure that the right person is accessing it at the time.
Two-factor stuff is great. It's really, really simple to enable. If I had known, I was just, you know, started working on this last week. It's been on my bucket list of things to do. Go into Azure, you know, get the two-factor working. And it's been something I just, you know, as you get busy with stuff, you just kind of put it off,
Yep.
So I took the time last week to say, okay, I need to really sit down and look at this. Sat down, played around with it. It's so simple. It's like, why haven't I done this already? It's that easy.
So in a two-factor authentication, it would thwart individuals from trying to gain access to applications that they shouldn't be gaining access to.
That's correct.
On a multitude of devices, right?
Well, I mean, often students will, I mean, in a school board environment, they'll watch the teacher put their password in. And of course, hey, I get the teacher's password.
Yep. Right
on, off I go. Well, a two-factor kind of stops them dead
in the
tracks.
They
have their phone or whatever it is for the second factor authentication, and they can't, the student, they have the password, but it's only half the battle.
So let's quickly look at the current offerings that are available for Azure Active Directory. You know, they span from free to a premium offering. If you're dabbling in for the first time, I think at your home lab, you deployed the free one, or did you?
I deployed the free one at home, but okay. I've just enabled the trial for the enterprise.
Okay.
So the one
the
you
premium.
Pay for, the premium,
yep.
Yes. And my plan is to actually pick up some licensing for that, because I really do actually use it. It lets me, with the SaaS apps, I can connect all my third-party apps and put the passwords in, and I never have to remember another password again.
Now, for the free offering, though, was a great starting.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
There is some limitations. You can only do 10 apps per user, and there's a limitation to the amount of objects that you can sync. But you have a great starting point in terms of that enablement to start testing in lab.
Exactly.
You know, what the potential is.
Yeah, that's right.
So what we're going to do now is we're actually going to go through a demo.
Okay.
And Todd is actually going to walk us through this demo. And for you, though, that are watching this course right now, you can actually follow along. We provided the URL here, aka.ms/canitpro/azure-ad-connect-lab. A little bit of a mouthful, but if you go to that link, you can actually follow along with this demo. This demo is actually comprised of four labs. We're actually going to do the first two right now in this module.
Yep.
So, Todd, take it away.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. So, I'm going to connect my screen here. There we go. Mouse is working. And so, I've brought my own personal Azure. You can create your own Azure if you don't have one. It's, you know, you get a free trial for 30 days. And if I'm not mistaken, the AD part is actually free.
Correct.
So it's not going to cost you anything, even if you do go past your 30 days. So what we're going to do is go down to New. We're going to create a app service. And in the bottom of the list is Active Directory. And we're creating a directory. And we're going to do a custom create. So the name of it is Azure AD, and the domain name, I used a text editor here so that way we don't, so let's call it Azure AD Can ID Pro. Oh, didn't like that too much. We'll do a paste, there we go. And that domain name is available, which is great. I'm going to select Canada as my region, and then I'm going to click the checkbox. And we can see here that the directory is now being created, and it's done.
Now make sure when you are doing this in your region, obviously you may or may not select Canada.
That's right.
But make sure you pick the proper region for, you know, where you're based out of.
That's right. So the region is created. Next, so that's creating a directory. Now we're going to create a user in this Active Directory. So you can see my account that I've used to log in is already there. But we're going to create a new user. So we're going to call him new user in my organization. And we'll just do my name, Todd.Lamutt. And we'll click Next. Todd Lamutt. And we'll say it's cloud, just to differentiate from the one that's already there. For the role that we're going to select, let's go with Global Administrator. That way, you know, if you're creating an Azure Active Directory, I strongly recommend that you do add account at a Global Administrator. That is part of the on Microsoft domain, especially if you're using a custom domain. So in this case here, we're just using that on Microsoft domain. So we don't, you know, it's everybody's in that one. But I've custom added my NATRAC domain to the other domain that I have. And so when you do that, if all your administrators are in your kind of your vanity domain, they call it, if you do that and something happens to that vanity domain, you may be locked out of your account. So you want to have that backup, sort of that on Microsoft. And a good recommendation is to put two-factor on as well. So, and we'll show that in the next lab.
Next module, yep.
Yeah. So in this case here, I'll just put my email address in. So I'm not enabling multi-factor at this time. but you can see that I have the option right here to do that. And then I'm going to create and get my temporary password. And there's my password. I'm just going to copy that back to my notepad so that I don't lose that. Oh, there we go. And I'm actually going to change it to that password. And I'm just going to change my thing here so we're good to go. Okay, so there's my password, temporary. And I say check mark. And we're good. Now you can see I have two users in my Azure AD. Now we're going to actually log in with it so we can enable it.
Yep.
I'm going to do a new private in private browsing. And this is kind of a good little trick. If you're logged in already on your Azure and you want to do another login with a different account, just switch it in private mode.
Yep.
And it really lets you kind of it creates another session altogether. So it's manage.windowsazure.com. And it was Azure AD. What the heck did I call the last part again? Can IT Pro. Azure AD. Can IT Pro. On Microsoft. This is why most people want to use their own domain, so they're not typing the whole thing. And then we need to go to the password again, which is here. Just gonna cut and paste, hopefully this works. Yes. And I'm gonna click sign in.
So now it's gonna ask you for a new
password. Now it's asking me for a new password. So in this case, I'm just gonna use the password that we had up here. Update password and sign in. And you can see I'm logged in, no subscription is found because nothing's been enabled yet.
Yep.
There you go. So that's the end of the lab.
So now we have that set up.
That's
now, the other aspect to this lab, the second part, is actually the Azure Active Directory Connect.
Okay, yeah.
Which you already have a current deployment of, just because for the you know, time that we have, we want to make sure that we can get the most information to you.
And that's
so,
right.
It takes a little bit of time to load the
it does
the application. Can you just walk through what
you
actually implemented?
Sure. So let's go in the lab. Oh, sorry, that's the wrong screen. Let me just change this. I want to get back to the machines. This guy.
And again, if you're following along, you can do this at home, aka.ms, Can IT Pro Azure AD Connect Lab. This is the way that you too can do this at home, made available by Microsoft to empower IT professionals to get the tools of the trade learned to then bring the best practices into their organizations.
So let me do a quick install. I can show you at least the start of the install.
Yep.
So Azure Active Directory Connect is right here. I'm just going to click the install, run through the UAC and say yes. Boom, boom. It kind of puts itself in behind. You just agree to the terms. And it checks for any prerequisites, which in this case, it should pop up with PowerShell and the Azure sign-in tool.
Yes.
Typically, you need those two things when you're doing anything with Azure. So it'll determine those whether it needs to be installed or not. You'll walk through. Basically, it's going to ask you for credentials. You're going to use that global administrator account that we just set up to use your Azure Active Directory.
Yep.
So you can see here it's going to install. So it downloads. It does those things. It asks for the connection. Then it runs through the setup. Setup is typically about 30 minutes. It's not a slow process.
Yep.
And then it will do its synchronization when it's done. And you can go back to your Azure Active Directory and you'll see the accounts there. If I still have the one from yesterday that I was working with. No, and you can see here it has already moved along. So I'll just add Azure AD Can IT Pro at .onmicrosoft.com. And then the password again. So I put a password in. It's connecting to Microsoft to verify those online credentials. Once it connects up here, we should be it'll start the install. We'll just see what happens. There you go. It checks.
Yep.
That everything's good. Then it's just going to ask me about, you know, if you have a single active directory for us, we do the following.
Yep.
I'm just going to use the Express settings. You do have the option to customize this install the way you want.
And now remember, you have control as the IT professional in terms of how you want this to sync.
That's right.
If you want it in a federated model and you don't want to have any objects sync to the cloud, you have that enablement as well. As Todd mentioned earlier, brushing up on your PowerShell for customization and for objects that you don't want to sync, very important. We as IT professionals have all the time in the world, right?
Yeah.
So, PowerShell automates a lot of the functionality and a lot of the control, and in doing so, frees up a lot of your time.
Oh, for sure.
It's great, and definitely brush up on it. There are definitely a ton of modules available on Microsoft Virtual Academy that you can go to, and they'll walk you through what's available for Azure.
PowerShell has saved my butt probably more times than I can shake a stick at.
Yeah.
Where something has uploaded or synced up, and we needed to correct an attribute or something in the cloud, especially with Office 365 and global address lists, customizing that, you really need to know your PowerShell to do that. And once you make changes, you have to touch every account again,
yep,
just so that the global address list gets refreshed. So PowerShell, PowerShell, PowerShell. Can't stress it enough. It will save your butt.
Yep, agreed.
So here you're going to put in your own AD credentials,
yep,
and then click Next,
and
away it goes. So yep, I'm going to jump over now to the Azure management again.
So the one you've deployed thus far.
This is the one, yep. So yep, you can see Contoso Corp. That was one I was working with earlier in the week.
Yep.
And you can see actually that we have many, many accounts here. So originally, you start off with just your global administrator, and then it will sync up. And you can see this one here was the one I created manually. The rest of these are all ones that it created as part of the lab. So the lab synchronized it up, and these are all part of from the on-prem. And let me explain the attribute filtering and stuff. You have the option to set a custom attribute in AD and say, okay, I don't want accounts with this attribute, or I want the accounts with this attribute to sync up. The other option is you can do OU filtering, at least with DirSync.
Yep.
Back in the olden days, I used to use that a lot, where I'd say, okay, I want this OU, this OU, this OU, and nothing else, and sync that stuff up. And it's great. Like it really makes your life a lot easier, and you're not having to worry about syncing up service accounts and other things that really don't need to be in the cloud. If you're not using a service account up there, why sync it up?
Yep.
So local administrator, stuff like that. So yeah, it's great. The filtering is definitely really, really a good thing to have.
So thank you for taking us quickly through Labs 1
problem.
And 2.
All right.
For more information, we have a great resource, http canitpro.net. Todd LaMoth and others actually create blogs and have written posts on there to share their information and to share their knowledge and their history of what they've accomplished thus far on this great resource that's available worldwide through the web, as well as online through social. Yep. We share this information. Also, for next steps, we've gone through the fact that TechNet Virtual Labs, phenomenal resource. It's what we're using today to highlight, getting started with Azure Active Directory. There's also the Evaluation Center for you to download Windows Server 2012 R2 to build your own lab. And there's a couple posts on that on Can IT Pro,
yep,
on how to set that up and then do that in a lab environment on-prem to then sync to your Azure implementation. And of course, Microsoft Virtual Academy, where courses like these help IT professionals like you get prepared for what's next. And that's it for the first module. So stay tuned, and the second module will be coming up shortly.